This is DW News live from Berlin. A British lawmaker has been stabbed to death. Member of Parliament Sir David Amos was attacked as he met with constituents in eastern England. We'll bring you the latest from the British capital. Also on the programme, another fatal bombing in Afghanistan. Dozens killed and Friday prayers cut short as explosions ripped through a Shia mosque in the city of Kandahar. And Germany moves a step closer to a new government as the Social Democrats, led by Olaf Scholz, the Greens and the Free Democrats back formal coalition talks. I'm Phil Gale. Welcome to the programme. We begin this hour in the United Kingdom, where a Conservative lawmaker has died after being stabbed as he met with constituents in eastern England. 69-year-old Sir David Amos was a Member of Parliament for Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Conservative Party. Police say they have arrested a 25-year-old man and recovered a weapon.
Sir David Amos's constituents pay their respects at the local church. A sad day for the residents of Southend-on-Sea.
A respected member of our community and, yeah, just really, really sad day for Lee.
I'm absolutely shocked and disgusted that somebody should take a measure like this, whatever his concerns might be. Sir David Amos was a very good local MP. Whatever his politics, he very much loved Southend area.
David Amos was stabbed to death in a church during a meeting with voters from his district. The suspected attacker was a 25-year-old man who was arrested at the scene. He remains in police custody and the investigation is still in its early stages.
We made it clear at the time of the incident that we did not believe there was any immediate further threat to anyone else in the area. It will be for investigators to determine whether or not this is a terrorist incident.
Downing Street has lowered its flag to half-mast and the Prime Minister spoke of his grief.
The reason I think people are so shocked and saddened is, above all, he was one of the kindest, nicest, most gentle people in politics. And he also had an outstanding record of passing laws to help the most vulnerable. I think everybody was deeply shocked and heart-stricken. And our thoughts, as I say, are very much with his family, with his wife, with his children.
As the police search for answers, residents mourn the loss of a well-respected member of their community.
Well, DW correspondent Charlotte Chelsom-Pill sent us this update from London.
Well, police are very clearly in the early stages of the investigation into this horrendous killing, but they have issued a statement. They said that they arrived at the scene of the killing immediately. They said that they found a man who had suffered multiple injuries. They said emergency services worked extremely hard to save him, but tragically, he died at the scene. Now, police have said that the investigation is being led by officers from the Specialist Counter-Terrorism Command. They say it will be up to those investigators to determine whether this was a terrorist incident. Now, to stress, we know nothing at the moment about the motive behind this horrendous killing. That is not clear, but the investigation clearly will continue and more details will emerge. What we do know so far is that a 25-year-old man has been arrested. He was detained at the scene on suspicion of murder. He remains in custody, and police have said that they are looking for no other figures related to this attack. Now, clearly, this is something that has sent shockwaves, not just through the political establishment, but the nation as a whole. Everyone here, as I'm sure you do too, remembers the murder of a serving Member of Parliament, Jo Cox. She was killed in 2016 in the run-up to the Brexit referendum. With this killing now today, that is the second time that a serving Member of Parliament has been killed while meeting constituents, as you say, the people he represents in his local area within the space of 5 years. That is extremely shocking. And it's no surprise now that the conversation is also, alongside the shock and the many, many tributes that are being paid to Sir David Amess. The conversation is also turning to the safety of members of parliament here in the United Kingdom, many saying very clearly that this now needs to be looked at extremely closely.
Charlotte Chelsea-Pill. Now, suicide bombers have attacked a Shia mosque in Afghanistan, killing more than 30 people and wounding dozens more. It happened during Friday prayers in the southern city of Kandahar. No group has said it carried out the attack, which comes just a week after another bombing at a Shia mosque in Kunduz, in which dozens of worshippers lost their lives. Well, DW correspondent Nick Connolly joins us from the Afghan capital, Kabul. Welcome, Nick. Bring us up to date.
So that death toll now looking to be around 30, an estimated 90 wounded, but I think those figures could still yet change. As you mentioned there, Friday prayers, the busiest time of the week. From what we understand, these were all civilian victims, no Taliban patrols or Taliban command at that mosque or nearby. At the time, this was a Shia mosque, obviously, the Shia being Afghanistan's biggest minority and targets for attacks over the years. Even here in Kabul, the Shia residential districts see a lot more in the way of violence than the rest of the city. And a real chilling signal now that these bombs, which are attributed to Islamic State, although so-called Islamic State, although no responsibility has been taken yet, that they're becoming something of a normality. The weeks after Taliban took over saw a relative lull in those attacks, saw an improvement in the security situation, and now widespread fear amongst many people here that that is over and that life is going to get a whole lot scarier for ordinary Afghans as the weeks go on.
And why Islamic State? What do they stand to gain?
I think there's very little in the way of clear understanding of what it is they're trying to achieve apart from showing up the Taliban. So this was an attack on Kandahar, the birthplace of the Taliban. It's where Mullah Omar, the founder of the Taliban, lived. Even Osama bin Laden lived there for a few years in the 90s. This is their home turf. So if they're not able to control security on their home turf in Kandahar place, they feel very relaxed. I was there last week, and definitely the mood amongst the Taliban checkpoints and the people you came into contact with was very different to Kabul, a lot more relaxed. If they're not able to guarantee security there, where are they able to do it? We've seen attacks in recent weeks on the funeral of a relative of a top-ranking Taliban official. So really questions now to the Taliban leadership. Given how bad the economic situation is and their inability to sort that, are they not even able to do security? What is it that they're able to offer the Afghan people if they can't manage security or the economy?
OK. Nick Connolly in Kabul. Thank you. Let's take a look at some more stories that are making news around the world. We'll start in Norway, where a court has ordered the man suspected of carrying out a deadly bow and arrow rampage to be transferred into medical care amid mounting questions about his mental health. Authorities say the man's been sent to a psychiatric institution for assessment. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has reportedly said he's prepared to hand over power to a bloc of opposition parties who narrowly won a combined majority in the parliamentary elections last weekend. Mr. Babiš had been hoping for a second term following coalition talks. Russia says one of its warships has had a close call with a US Navy destroyer, which Moscow says was trying to enter its territorial waters in the Sea of Japan. Russia's defense ministry claimed the ships came within 60 meters of each other. Russia and China are carrying out joint naval drills in the area. China has successfully launched three more people into space. They'll spend 6 months on the country's space station working on completing it. It'll be the longest period of time Chinese astronauts have spent in space. Beijing plans to send more crews up there over the next 2 years. Now to Lebanon, which has seen a day of mourning after at least six people died in political violence. Gunfire broke out in the capital on Thursday during protests organized by critics of the investigation into last year's devastating port explosion. Many in Beirut say they haven't seen violence like this since the end of Lebanon's civil war 30 years ago.
Mourning fused with defiant protest. Hezbollah supporters attend the first funerals for Thursday's victims. It was the worst street violence in Beirut in over a decade, reminiscent of the country's brutal civil war.
Sniper shots were coming from the buildings on the other side. They shot my daughter-in-law while she was still in the house. She was inside the house and killed by a sniper. She was the mother of five children. My son's family is ruined. What should he do?
This reminds us of the war of the 1970s and 80s. It reminds us of the horror days that we don't want to relive. Today it's different than in the old days. Today the neighborhoods are mixed. Muslims are living there and Christians here and vice versa.
The mayhem lasted 4.5 hours, with residents all over the city running for shelter. The gunfire broke out during a protest over an investigation into last year's massive blast at the city's port. Hundreds of supporters of Iran-backed Hezbollah and its main Shia ally, Amal, were marching to demand the removal of the investigation's lead judge when they were fired at by shooters on nearby rooftops. The army was deployed to bring the violence under control.
Armed forces did their duty and will continue to do so and maintain security and stability. We will not allow anyone to take the country hostage in their own interests.
Government ministers are stressing the importance of quashing the violence. Civil peace among the Lebanese people inside the Lebanese territory is one of the holiest matters. Civil peace is not to be compromised. The government is promising to come down hard on those responsible for starting the gunfire. But with the country close to economic collapse and gridlocked politically, the people of Beirut are left to wonder if their lives will ever return to normal.
And 3 weeks after Germany's elections, the parties hoping to form a new government are now a step closer to their goal. Following negotiations, the leaders of the Social Democrats, the Greens and the Free Democrats have issued a statement outlining their areas of agreement. This document will now have to be approved by each party before formal coalition talks can begin.
The heads of Germany's centre-left Social Democrats, the Environmentalist Green Party and the business-friendly Free Democrats appeared side by side as they presented the results of the exploratory talks. They promised a fresh start and pledged to modernise Germany, both industrially but also environmentally. That means we want to massively increase renewable energy sources so that we can stop using fossil fuels as soon as possible. All of us together have committed to that. It will probably be the largest industrial modernization that Germany has seen in over 100 years. They aim to phase out coal-powered plants by 2030, a concession to the Greens. In return, a nationwide speed limit on the German Autobahn is off the table. With three quite different political parties, we always knew we would need to make concessions so that we can tackle the big challenges of our time with courage. And that also means having the courage to make decisions. The parties also agreed to keep the debt limit in place, meaning any investments will have to remain within the existing financial boundaries, a concession to the Free Democrats. In return, the FDP agreed to a minimum wage of 12 euros. The FDP leader said the talks had a special atmosphere. For me, and I believe for the other participants too, that increased the realm of what was possible. It nurtured new imagination, new political imagination. All three leaders say they will now go back to their party committees and recommend the start of formal coalition talks.
As a reminder of our top story at this hour, British Conservative lawmaker Sir David Amos has died after being stabbed at a meeting in his constituency. A 25-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of murder. Counter-terrorism police are leading the investigation, though a motive for the attack has not been established. That's it, you're up to date. More world news at the top of the hour. Stephen Beardsley has your business update in just a moment. And of course, there's always more around the clock on our website, dw.com, and on the DW app. Have a good day.